2 Corinthians chapter 5. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Stan. Well, this message will save your life. In 1960, off the coast of the islands of Hawaii, a magnitude of 9.6 earthquake occurred in the seabed. Many beachgoers at the time were unaware that this earthquake had occurred. Oblivious to this, some of the beachgoers on the beach observed that the waters began to recede. As the waters receded, there exposed was beautiful corals and fish and shells. And many of these beachgoers thought this was wonderful at the low tide, and so they ventured down onto the reef to collect these fish and corals. But some thought something wasn't right. They began to think, this is not good. And they began to warn those who were collecting these corals and these fish, warning them that something wrong is going to happen. They themselves ran to safety. Some listened to this message, but some ignored it. Some didn't even get to hear it. 60 people were then swept away by a tsunami. 60 people lost their lives back in 1960. That message could have saved their lives. This message could save your life for all eternity. It's easy for us to begin to tune out when we think of the urgency of the gospel. Evangelism is a topic that we hear about from the pulpit often, and so we should. But like those people who tuned out, who ignored the message, my appeal to you is don't ignore this message. And like the Apostle Paul, who in that passage, he himself says that he implores his listeners, be reconciled to God. Friends, I implore you this morning, pay attention. This message will save your life. Now, the news of Billy Graham passing away, many people were felt the impact or have connections to Billy Graham as the great evangelist. Apparently, nearly 215 million people attended his crusades. 215 million people. There's probably not been a person on the planet who's had more direct impact on people responding to the gospel. I don't know, there's people probably here who themselves, anyone here, Linda at least, yeah, and Julianne, my mother, David, who have directly been impacted by Billy Graham. Apparently 2% of the population of Australia heard, responded and gave their life to the Lord in the 59 Billy Graham Crusades. Hearing of his death, is this just news, however? Is this good news? Well, to some extent, it is good news because he's now with his Saviour. I'm sure it's bad news for those who love him and know him personally. It's good news because he finished the fight, didn't he? He finished the race. No scandal, no controversy, a man of humility and of integrity finished the race. But the news of his death is just the news of one person's death. This morning alone, in me listening to the ABC broadcast, I heard more of bombings and killings in the Middle East, in Syria, in Kabul. We hear news all the time. In fact, we're bombarded by news. Most of it is not so good news. The news of rain this morning, well, it was good news for those of us who are trying to keep our plants alive, but for those who were participating in the Molonglo Lacombs Park Run, it was not so good news. I don't know, is Richard run this morning? Is he still wet out in the rain? And anyone else? Good news for some, bad news for others. Some news is worth telling, isn't it? Some news we can't stop telling about. News that impacts just one person. Well, that's pretty good news. Last night at the Molonglo Sips and Sounds event, there was a great gourmet picnic hamper that could be won as a lucky door prize. Great news for the person who finds out about that. Bad news for those of us who missed out. News that just impacts one person is good, but news that impacts many is great news. News that impacts the world or all of mankind is fantastic news and news worth proclaiming. Friends, evangelism is what we want to be known for as a church, people who publicly and privately proclaim this good news of reconciliation between us and God. A friend of mine came to Australia, a friend of our family, in fact. She came from the nation of China. Had the opportunity to hear about Jesus from my parents-in-law who were working in China. She responded to the gospel, was baptized, I believe, in their bathtub. When she came to visit us in Australia, her name is Cynthia, she's a lovely friend. When she came to Australia at first, she said, "This country is amazing. This country is wonderful because everyone knows about Jesus." And I asked her, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, in my country, we can't just talk about Jesus openly. Your country, it must be so good that everyone knows. With a message so good, with the freedom to tell everybody, it must be wonderful to be in a place where everyone knows." I understood her logic. But it grieves me to think that here in a nation where we are free to tell, there are so many that are yet to know. See, it is the greatest news, isn't it? It's news worth telling. It's news worth risking our lives for. Some of you have understood this news. Some of you are passionate about this news. Many of us take this news for granted, don't we? Well, I believe this morning, as we can take a few moments to look at this text from 2 Corinthians 5, we again can be refreshed, as the rain is refreshing the earth, with the wonder of how great this news is. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here is a message that is utterly good. It is the greatest news. The Apostle Paul is talking about his experience, And as he talks about his experience, he shares with his listeners, the Corinthians, the wonder of the gospel itself. For gospel is good news. Let's look at verse 14. Let's see why this news is good news. He says, For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Let's reflect on this for a moment. He's declaring here that one died. Therefore, the death that we deserved, all of us, was taken upon our Savior Jesus. One died, therefore all have died to sin. Then there at the end of verse 15, he was not only dead, but he rose again. Death has been conquered. All right, that's the first little glimpse of good news here. Let's jump to verse 18. Verse 18, all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. There's a reconciliation that's taken place, as we saw in that little illustration in the children's kids spot. The relationship between us and God through Christ has been reconciled. What good news this is! Right? It keeps getting better. Let's jump to verse 19. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting people's sins against them. Let me read, actually, flowing on from verse 18. I'll read that again. Giving us the ministry of reconciliation, and he says now what this ministry is. The ministry is that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting people's sins against them. Grasp this, guys. This doesn't get better. It doesn't get better than this. That our sins are not counted against us. Us deserving sinners will not face the consequences for all eternity. As far as the east is from the west, the consequences of our sins have now been removed from us. I'm pretty excited by this, I reckon. This is awesome news. Okay, again, let's see how this news keeps getting better. Verse 21, talking about Jesus. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The one, again, who had no sin, he took it upon himself, so that we who were not right with God could be put right with God. We are now the righteousness of God. And it is all of God. Comes a little bit earlier, at the beginning of verse 18. This is all of God. His doing, not our doing. We can be declared right. The great exchange has happened. But it's not just for eternity. The Apostle Paul, he's swept up in the wonder of this, and he talks about the transformation that's occurred to him personally. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new is a new creation. Has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Paul's talking about his role as an apostle, and he talks about how just an incredible transformation has happened to him. He's gripped personally by the fact that there is a new beginning for him. Last night at the Sips and Sounds event, we got to see an old friend. His life has gone through some significant struggles. I was praying for opportunities last night. And in talking to him, I had the joy of sharing this very news that God is a God of second chances. God can rebuild, that those who trust in Jesus, the old is come, the new is here. Who doesn't want a fresh start? Talking with another friend recently whose thoughts drifted back to regrets and wrongs in his past. It doesn't take me long to think about things I've done wrong and things I regret, the sins of my own heart. Friends, the gospel offers a new beginning, a fresh start this very day. There's no better news. And it goes into all eternity. Now, in our passage this morning, we didn't quite finish the section, but if you have actual hard copy Bibles or you have a Bible there, Paul goes on into verse 1 and 2 of chapter 6, and he concludes by saying, I tell you, this is his audience, now is the time of God's favor. It's on offer now. Now is the day of salvation. This language, this word now, is an emphatic statement that it is here now, available right at this very moment. And like the Apostle Paul, who implores the Corinthians, be reconciled to God, friends, I invite you and I implore you that today is the day of salvation. There's no better day if you don't yet know the wonder of this good news. There's nothing better than to accept it, to experience it, to find the joy of life being put right back with God. At the Billy Graham Crusades, there was often the song played and sung, the song, Just As I Am, without one plea. And the first line says exactly that, as we come before God, just as we are, sinners and all, we don't have a single plea for righteousness. But, the verse goes, that your blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee. And the response of the singer is, O Lamb of God, I come. My prayer is that all of us here in this room this morning would have the same declaration, that we too, without a single plea, would come to our Saviour. And that all of Molonglo and Canberra and our nation of Australia and to the ends of the earth would hear this wonderful, this fantastic, this sensational good news that we have in front of us. Now that passage is only one, but there are many rich veins of the wonder of the gospel, the good news that is found in Scripture, and I encourage you to keep preaching that gospel, keep reading it. Keep saturating yourself with the gospel. See, as you are, you will be like the Apostle Paul, I'm convinced, compelled by the love of Christ. Point two on your outlines there, thinking about Paul's passion, his drive clearly is what God has done for him. He's compelled, verse 14. He can't do anything else but that. Recently, I shared before, my boys and I went swimming in the Murrumbidgee and we were under a waterfall, and as we got to the waterfall, we couldn't do anything but be swept away. Even me, 100 kilograms of being swept away, I could not fight the urge of this waterfall as it swept me away. Paul's speaking in a similar way. He is compelled by Christ's love. He can't do anything else. But not only is his motivation the knowledge of Christ's love in his life, he's also convinced, verse 14, mentally and intellectually, he's convinced that Christ died for one, for all. Therefore, all have died. Again there, he says it's not just emotion, but it's intellectual understanding. He is convinced. But more than that, as I've already pointed out, in verse 17, he testifies that he is a new creation. He has a brand new identity. Therefore, his identity is one of imploring people. His identity is one of being commissioned with this ministry of reconciliation. Verse 18, you see that it is his new calling. All this from God, who reconciled him to himself through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And verse 19, he committed to us this message of reconciliation. His new identity is being one of now a person who can't do anything else but proclaim the wonder of this good news. And verse 20, his final sort of identity tag that he has is one of being Christ's ambassador, as though God himself were making his appeal through him, representing the King of Kings. And friends, I'm convinced that this too is our mission. This is what we're on about as Stromlo Church, to be a disciple-making church, disciples who are on about the wonder of this good news. That's why we really wanted evangelism, the sharing of the good news, to be one of the pillars of who we are as a church, what we are known for. Because I believe that's acting in obedience to the gospel, in obedience to God's word. It's too easy, isn't it, to tag sharing Jesus as an optional extra. Say, well, I'm really not very good at it. I'll leave that to the people who are good at it. Billy Graham was asked, was complimented after one of his crusades in the car traveling home. Someone in the front seat turned around and said, Billy, you did an amazing job tonight. You explained the gospel so brilliantly. And Billy's response was thank you. The guy in the front turned around. And then he thought, well, that was a bit of a dud. It was just a straight thank you. He didn't seem to be amazed by that. He said, I'm going to give it another go and give him another encouragement. And he turned around and he said, that illustration that you said, it was brilliant, the way you captivated people and pointed people to Jesus. And Billy Graham stops him there and he says, it's just the gospel. His point being is that it's the same message. It's not rocket science. Billy Graham certainly was a captivating preacher, but it's just the gospel. We all have the same message, don't we? And it's the gospel that has the power to save. There's no other name by which men and women can be saved. And so we might not have the opportunity to stand in front of 215 million people, but we have the same powerful gospel, don't we? My prayer is that we would again be as Paul is, compelled, as we think about the wonder of this message. But we need to take the eyes off ourselves, don't we? As Billy Graham did, take these eyes off his oratory skills and fix our eyes on Jesus. See, if we fix our eyes on him, if we're captivated by him and his love, like that lady I spoke about earlier, we will be convinced that there is nothing better that people need to hear about. Friends, we have networks. We are engaged with our community already. And I believe that if we pray that we can see those around us with the eyes that God sees them, that they have a great need. In fact, their greatest need is what? Their greatest need is that they are reconciled to God himself. See, if we pray this, I believe we won't be thinking that, oh, the gospel is just one of a bunch of helpful self-help processes or strategies that will benefit you in your life at the moment. No, we need to be convinced it's the very best. The very best thing they can hear about. So what's stopping us? Well, let's pray that as a church, we can see the wonder of Jesus. Let me conclude by giving you three helpful tools. Three helpful tools. And we've already heard about much of them already, particularly as Fran shared in her testimony. Firstly, as you guys have shared with me about how you share the gospel, you're often praying. We can't expect to have opportunities if we're not praying for opportunities. And as we're praying, God will give us a heart for those we're speaking to, and our eyes will often be opened as to the opportunities that are there in front of us. So the first one, P for pray. I've got three P's. Secondly, P for prepare. And we heard last week about how as we are active in the world, engaging with the world, as people will question our lives, they'll want to know a reason for the hope. So Peter it was actually last week, said to be prepared. My lovely wife had the opportunity when she was studying her diploma in neonatal nursing, her postgraduate diploma in that. She was with another student who was going through some difficult times. And the exams were intense, the pressure was intense. This young lady was really having a bit of a meltdown, I suppose. And she turns to Sky and says to Sky, what's going on with you? Why aren't you going through what I'm going through? Why aren't you having this same meltdown that I'm experiencing? And Skye says to her, well, I have hope in God. And this young lady says, tell me about this hope. This is literally where the conversation went. And through that, she pointed to the fact that she did not need to worry. Though in an intense situation, she was confident and she had a hope in a God who was in control, and that the hope of the gospel informed even her studies. This young lady was able to come to the church, come to the playgroup, and it sparked a wonderful friendship there. Let's pray. Let's be prepared. Let's equip ourselves. If I had time this morning, I would love to get you just to turn to the person next to you and say, hey, in 30 seconds or 60 seconds, share the hope that you have with those around you. I mean, you can do it with your family on the way home in the car. Share the hope. That was a great question we had on the screen. Who was it that shared the gospel with you first? Be prepared. Sometimes we often just need to reflect, don't we, on the wonder of Jesus. I think we are so distracted by so many things that we don't just stop and think how wonderful Jesus really is. And as you reflect on how wonderful he is, how much of a difference he's made in your life, then you'll be ready to share that with somebody else a little bit later. I mean, just put it down in dot forms. How does Jesus make a difference for you right now? For he is truly wonderful. Pray, prepare. And the third one, I couldn't really get a P for this, but I'll say P for proclaim boldly. Proclaim boldly. Even the Apostle Paul, he asks people to pray for him at the end of Ephesians that he would have the courage to do it. You see, we often need the confidence and the courage, the fearless attitude to share the gospel of Jesus, like that refugee woman, realizing that the risk for her is nothing compared to the risk for those around us that will spend eternity without Jesus. Friends, let's be people who are praying. Let's be people who are actively making sure we are prepared. And let's be people of bold courage that proclaim boldly in the opportunities we have the wonder of the good news of Jesus. Let me take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you again, afresh, for the gospel, the good news of Jesus. For it is indeed that, the gospel of Jesus. Lord, we are convinced that he died for us, that we can be reconciled to you. Lord, we pray that we would be people who are compelled, like the Apostle Paul, by the wonder of the love that you've shown for us in Christ. That we would be eager to implore others, knowing that they so desperately are lost without Jesus. Lord, may we be a people of prayer. May we be a people of preparation. May we be a people of bold proclamation. Not so that Stromlo will be known as a great evangelizing church, but so that more people will know the wonder of this incredible news. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.